The Today's Homeowner Radio Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Man, we are ready to go here on this fantastic 4th of July weekend, Independence Day. Happy birthday, America. Hope everybody's doing well and having a great time. It's just awfully hot around a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about that situation, but also we've got a lot to share with you here. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and some of the things we're going to touch on include talking about how to attach a rail to a brick wall. That's always something that can be quite a challenge. Also, water-based stain. That hadn't been around very long. Does it work? We'll talk about that. Concrete issues, a little bit of recommendations on how to build a fire pit. Who wants to have a fire now? That's okay. It's a great project to go ahead and do and get ready for something else. Of course, my co-host is Joe Truini. And Joe, a little bit later, you're going to bring us a simple solution.
I am indeed. And this is how to make a really simple roof shingle repair. If you have a damaged shingle on your roof, asphalt shingle, do you have to replace an entire section? No. I have a way to repair that. So you don't have to replace the entire roof or even an entire shingle.
Excellent. I always look forward to that simple solution. And we really look forward to being with you each and every week. It's just, I can't tell you how many fantastic emails and calls we've gotten on the hotline this week. We'd love to get one from you. All you have to do is pick up the phone anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and give us a call, 800-946-4420. Or if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that anytime, of course, by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Joe has certainly been busy, and we made the trip out to Los Angeles to the Emmy Awards, and we came back empty-handed. But we did come back with some fantastic memories, ran into a lot of great folks. I was so glad to see our buddies Brad Rogers and Scott Gardner, who is my longtime creative director and longtime head of photography in our group, to be able to be somewhat honored there because you kind of feel like you won when you go to, you do the red carpet and you go in and you see a bunch of people and get pictures taken a lot. It was still a fantastic week.
Yes. And for people who didn't listen last week, it's the nomination is for multi-camera editing. And you can't imagine how much video gets shot to produce one half-hour TV show. And it falls mostly upon Scott and Brad to edit it down. So first, just to be nominated. Maybe you didn't win the award, but you got invited out. That's more than a whole lot of people, right? You at least got invited out. And I saw some great photographs from there.
Yeah, no doubt. We had a good time, and I don't know, we look pretty good too,
When you're all dressed up, you guys look great.
Congratulations to Kelly Clarkson and the Kelly Clarkson Show for winning in that category, and they actually won quite a few. Now, this was the Creative Emmy Awards, which is still part of the National Emmy Awards, but the follow-up is the one that they do live, which was on a Saturday night, I believe. But either way, it was fantastic. We're ready to try it again. Also, our friends at This Old House were being honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award, something that rarely is given out. And most of the guys were there, had an opportunity to talk to Richard
Truthui.
I keep forgetting how to say that. I no telling how, what
most
I said,
people do. Most people do.
I've known That's Richard okay. for many, many years. Also, Tom Silva. And then Norm. Old Norm Abrams is retiring after 42 years. He and I had a great chat on, he's probably tired of answering the question, well, what are you going to do now?
Yeah.
And but he launched right into a project that he's just about to take on, and that is boat building, a small boat that I think is about 60 years old. And he's rebuilding rebuilding the entire thing, replacing all parts of it, restoring it. You know, it's going to look great. And I shared with him how I restored my father's boat that's 54 years. So we had a lot to talk about and enjoyed the whole overall thing. And go to Today's Homeowner Facebook page and you'll be able to see a lot of photos and a lot of things there. And Chelsea looked fantastic. And everybody that was with us, just we had a good time. So this year's over, next year's ahead, and we'll be back.
We'll try again.
Hey, also want to remind you about a brand new podcast. We're changing things up a little bit. We appreciate all the many thousands of people that have been downloading our podcast, but we're launching a brand new podcast episode every single week called Ask Danny. And what we've found out is so many times when people are looking at podcasts, they're really looking for a single subject. They're looking for one particular part of the home that they're dealing with. So I decided to do this and think of it as me sitting on the tailgate out on the job site with a carpenter, with a drywall expert, with a decorator, whatever. We have many, many dozens and dozens of guests already lined up for this. So each week you'll be able to download that. And certainly we want any kind of feedback from you on some of the things that you would like to see. But now also the radio show, we will now have two podcasts, one for hour one, one for hour two, and then the third podcast would be Ask Danny. So I'm trying to take care of the demand of everybody that's requesting more and more podcasting. So we'll put all of these together, and that'll launch this weekend. So, Joe, I don't know if you do much podcasting.
Yeah, well, usually you find out about podcasts from, like, your children, right? Or other
right.
Very young adults who do almost nothing but listen to podcasts. When I drive around in the car, I usually listen to the radio. I still listen to the radio.
Same here, yeah.
My kids' generation, I don't know if they even know there's a radio in the car. Everything's a podcast that they play through, from their phone through the speakers. So, as you said, podcasts become more and more popular, and people get used to listening to them. They can listen to them at their leisure at any time of the day, any day. So, so it fits anybody's schedule. You can't say, well, I wasn't there in time to hear the podcast. You can listen to it anytime.
Exactly. Well, Joe, what are you doing this weekend? I always, really, really enjoy 4th of July because, I don't know, it's like any holiday when you're, around the house doing a few things and
right.
Things like that. Maybe it allows you to escape a little bit of the day-by-day stuff that we're hearing, the interest rates going up and other issues that are challenging us as Americans. But it gives you a chance to escape a little bit, and then you get the smell of the hamburgers and you get the water. Watermelon, and then all of a sudden you're in the pool or swimming, and it feels like everything's okay. What about yourself there? What are you going to be doing this weekend?
Yeah, well, we're going to be spending some time with family, of course, which we try to get together as much as possible, and holidays seem like to be a good time. The town I live in, it's a very small town. It doesn't really have many places to go, but they do a pop-up pub. You're familiar with that, right?
Where yeah.
So they have one at the library, and almost the whole town seems to come out to it. And we haven't had one in a couple of years because of the pandemic.
Right. Yeah.
So they're going to kick off the weekend with that, I think on Friday. So you get to see everyone from town that you don't bump into ordinarily. And then we're just going to take the weekend off. We have a puppy, which I think I mentioned last week. So he's been demanding a lot of time. I didn't realize puppies, man, they are always on.
Right under your feet. Yep.
Yep. Just following me around and always wants to be taken out. And he doesn't, I thought I was energetic. This thing, his batteries are not going to wear that. But so, yeah, we're just going to be staying close to home. I'm remodeling a deck out front and replacing all the wood. But, I think I'm going to take a break. I'm half done with it now. I'm going to take a break and after the holidays finish it up.
Heck, why not?
Are you going down to the beach?
No, we have such a good situation here. We're going to have a lot of the family down for a cookout, and then the kids love swimming in the pool. And
right.
And we have, are you familiar with what a lily pad is?
Well, other than a regular, real lily pad, no.
The new lily pads are a piece of foam that's probably about 2.5 inches thick, and it's probably about 10 foot long and about 6 feet wide, and
wow.
It just lays on top of the water. Now, a small child can stand up on it, like a little puppy can stand up on it, and then when you lay on it, you kind of get in the water just a little bit, but people all over the river have them, and right around the corner, right around the bend in the river, this wonderful family puts on one of the best fireworks displays you've ever
really?
Seen.
Oh,
they have a live band there. So we go and we anchor, and we cook right off the back of the boat and cook a few things. This will be on the 3rd, and then right. we you know, head back, and we can actually watch the fireworks from our boat dock. So
great.
It's been kind of great over the last few years, and we're planning on doing that again. Well, a special happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day to everybody listening to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Get ready. We've got some great information we're going to share with you, just like we do each and every week. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
The Today's Homeowner Radio Show is heard all over this great country on fantastic stations like this one in Big Rapid, Michigan, WBRN AM 1460 and 107.7 FM. Special hello to everybody there in Michigan and anybody listening today. We want to help you out with any of those challenges that you might have around your home, no matter what they are. We want you to know how you can reach out to us. Phone number 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email anytime you wish at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to see if we can head down to Virginia and help Barbara out. Barbara, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on with this floor in your home.
Hi, thank you. Mm-hmm. Water got all over my hallway floor, wood floors, at least I think it's wood floors, and there's kind of a popping. The wood looks like it just is blistering.
So that's the top layer of the wood floor?
Yes.
And do you know what kind of floor this is?
When
it was installed, how old it is, that kind of thing?
It was installed in 2014, new build in 2014. And mm-hmm. I've just always assumed it was a wood floor. It has a nice sheen on it, nice color. It looks like hardwood to me.
Yeah, and it's in your hallway area. So that was this
in
a bathroom?
In my hall. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, okay. It was the washroom. It's where my wash and dryer is. It overflows.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wood floor is kind of funny. A lot of times it's a little bit tolerant to water, you know, especially a one incident like that. And older floors will sometimes lift a little bit. But, Joe, it certainly is a challenge when you're talking about trying to sand or refinish this.
Right.
What would you suggest to Barbara on this, you think?
Yeah, Barbara, since we don't know exactly what kind of floor this is, and it might be a wood floor, but there are several different types of wood floor. If it's just a thin layer on top that's blistering off, then it's probably not a solid wood floor because that would not happen. So this might be an engineered wood floor, meaning that it's made up of two or three layers. Actually, I guess it'd be four layers of wood. And on top, there's a thin veneer of hardwood. The rest is typically softwood, pine or something like that. And that could blister if it gets wet, especially if it stays wet for an extended period of time. There are laminate floors that look like wood, and most of them are pretty water resistant, but some of the older ones or some quality, lower quality ones are not. And so you might have some swelling with the core, which is a fiberboard, might be swelling up and causing it to look like it's blistering. But I think what we have to do is find out what kind of floor this is. And has this been completely dry for a period of time, or do you think it's still a little wet?
Oh, no, it's been completely dry for about a week and a half now.
Okay. Well, because sometimes once it dries out, it kind of flattens out. I suspect if it's blistered up and if you press on it and it kind of goes down and pops back up, then it's probably an engineered wood floor. It's like, okay, so let's say that's what it is. Now, what do you do? Unfortunately, if you have quite a bit of this sort of blistering or this place where it's bubbled up, I think you're going to have to replace those boards, which can be done, by the way. You have to get exactly the same boards, of course, same color, same manufacturer, and you might have to replace them. Other than that, I'm not sure, without knowing exactly what type of floor this is, what else I could recommend.
Well, if it was a wood floor, what would you recommend?
Well, if it was just a wood floor, then solid wood floor, first, it wouldn't be blistered, but in any case, you could sand it down because you have like 3/4 of an inch of wood to sand. Now, if it's an engineered wood floor, you could sand it, but you just have to be really careful because the top layer is only about 1/8 of an inch, maybe a little thicker. And obviously, you don't want to sand through it, in which case you'll then would have to replace the board.
Is there any cleaning that I could do to it to make it better?
I don't think so. I don't think cleaning is going to help if it's blistered. So when you press down what you're calling blisters, when you press down on them, do they go down then pop back up we'd expect a blister to do?
Well, it kind of did that at the beginning, but now it's not quite as obvious now.
Right. It did it at the beginning. You could press it down because it was really wet and the wood fibers were supple. But now that it's dried out and they're hard, they just dried with the blister. So when you press it down, it's like a hard blister. It's not going down. So that's why I suspect it's probably a engineered wood floor. And if it was one or two blisters, you can get a glue injector, and it basically looks like a needle you'd see at the doctor's office. You shoot glue into the blister, then weigh it down with something. But, you know, if you have several of these across the whole hallway, I'm not sure how you would do that. But I guess you could try that on one or two and see if it works.
Now it really just looks like a wrinkle. It just looks like a wrinkled person's arm or something.
Right,
that's
right.
The way it's not blistering now. It just looks like it's wrinkled a little bit.
Yeah, that really makes it hard because that's because the fiber has swollen up a little bit there, and it can only go back down so much. So it's a tricky one. You might try the glue syringe and just cut a little small slice in that buckled area, spray a little glue in there, weight it down like Joe mentioned, and maybe it'll make it a lot less obvious from the eye.
Okay, well, it certainly was talking to you.
Yeah, it was great to talk with you as well, Barbara. Wish we could help you out a little bit on that. And hope you have a great Independence Day and a great weekend.
Thank you so much. I enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, thank you very much. We'll keep it coming. All right, thank you, Barbara.
All right.
Yeah, you know, some of those things, you know, it's, and also, Joe, when you have some things like that, sometimes the more you do to something like that, the worse it gets.
Right.
You know, Anna, but I think a little glue injection and weighting it down will take that ripple away from it. And then you might even be able to use some of the, you know, rejuvenate on it since it's that old and so forth.
Yeah. And the thing I didn't mention to Barbara, which of course is pretty obvious, but I do want to mention it. Whenever you weigh something down like that, be sure to put two or three layers of like wax paper or plastic or something, because obviously you don't want to put something, weigh it down and have like a concrete block or something stick to the floor. So whatever you do, cover up the glue, because some will squeeze out. Then you'll have to deal with that, but at least you'll have a nice flat area and you won't have those blisters.
Good, good. Hope that helps you out there, Barbara. Let's go to the emails right now. You can send us one anytime at todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came in from Mike in Memphis, Tennessee. I just read your article about putting gravel in planting pots. What do you put in the bottom of a pot that has drainage holes to keep the potting soil from sifting out? Joe, I guess some little squares, little small pieces of landscape fabric would work well there, that you put, just line that in there, maybe a spot of glue to keep it from sliding around. And that way the drainage will still continue just like it does in a flower bed, but that will really keep that soil from sifting out of there.
Yeah, landscape fabric, and I did a simple solution a while ago showing using coffee filters. Regular coffee filters.
They're
usually just the right shape. They're cheap. They cost less than a penny a piece, I guess. And you can put it in there. If it's a larger pot or tray, planting tray, they often use clay pot shards, which are basically just clay pots that, you know, often will crack, and rather than throw it away, just cover it with a towel, and then use a hammer and bust it up into smaller pieces and little shards. Then you sprinkle that at the bottom, and that'll hold the soil in and still let water drain out. So you could try that as well.
I also like that. Of course, I don't know if they use the packing peanuts very anymore, but you know, putting those in the bottom of a flower bed,
that would be
great. Because
you
start putting gravel that's pretty heavy, a plant already pretty heavy, and if you're you know, have the same situation like I have around here, where you know occasionally it gets a little cold weather, so you're hauling those plants in, you're hauling them back and forth and all of that, moving them around. It makes it a lot easier instead of having the gravel in the bottom of that pot.
Yeah, you're right. I just see packing peanuts, the styrofoam, polystyrene. I haven't seen those in quite a while, actually. Hopefully they're getting rid of them fine, because they are a big pain in the neck.
Yeah, I know it. And boy, if a little bit of wind gets behind that, it'll blow all over the neighborhood. I've seen that happen. And it's not like they deteriorate and go away in a month. They'll stay here for 100 years, I hear. So.
Yeah, and that's why. And plus, they have that static electricity, but you can't throw them out because they stick all over your arm. And they started making them out of like some kind of cornmeal, which you may have seen. And when they get wet, they just disappear. They just dissolve. and they kind of smell like Fritos. They're kind of cool, but I think they're pretty expensive. And obviously, you can't use that in a clay pot because as soon as they get wet, they would dissolve. But yeah, I'm kind of glad I'm not dealing with packing peanuts any longer.
I know it. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about a water-based, very fast-drying wood stain. If you have a project coming up at your house, you're going to want to know about this. And also, we always get a lot of questions about how to attach something to a brick wall. We're going to cover all of that and a whole lot more coming up right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, staining wood is a job that requires a lot of guesswork. How will the stain react to your project? Will the color work with the rest of the room? How soon will you be able to clear coat it? Behr is introducing their premium fast-drying water-based wood stain. Now, this formula can be tinted to a wide variety of popular interior colors, so you can be sure it will work in your existing space. And because it's water-based, it has less odor than oil-based products and can be cleaned up with just soap and water. It also provides superior color control and application control for interior projects. And it dries very quickly and evenly in just 1 hour. Plus, it's reworkable up to 48 hours after application, so you can get just the results in less time. If this is of interest to you, then head over to HomeDepot.com. Which, you know, a lot of those stains, you really better wait overnight before you do anything. I've gotten restless on that and tried putting that varnish right on top of it, and I went, this is not the way it's supposed to work.
Almost any finish is now available in water-based. They're just as effective, especially if it's just an indoor project, and it makes cleanup so much more easy. That's first of all, of course, water dries a lot quicker than oil-based, but the cleanup is just so much easier than having to deal with paint stripper. That's why I prefer it.
The water-based finishes, the clear finishes and so forth, if you're not used to it, it's like spreading milk on you. You know, it's real milky.
Oh, because it's so milky. Yeah.
It's just
milky.
It does
dry clear, but you're
And you go, and then it dries clear. But yeah, it's a great way to go. And I can see all of the oil-based materials slowly getting out of the marketplace. Hey, let's go right to our emails. Again, appreciate all these fantastic emails. It makes us smile. You can't see us smiling on the radio, but we're smiling
now. We're always smiling, but yeah, this is another reason.
Well, Francis in Georgia wrote recently and says, on a recent episode called Ensuring an Easy Future, now she's talking about our syndicated television show, how is the new railing attached to the brick? I have a small front porch and want to put rails on each side. I also need to attach them to the columns. Not sure how to accomplish this. Well, it's a good question and can be quite a challenge. But when you're building wood handrails like we were doing on the TV episode that Francis is talking about, what we did is our spindles were 2x2s. So I carefully measured the height and the lineup of that 2x2. Then we used construction adhesive and TAPCON screws. So we were able to glue it to the brick, drill through with a pilot bit into the masonry, then use, and we put a little countersink hole there so that when we use the TAPCON screws, which are available at any home center, they went in deep into the brick and about a quarter inch below the surface of the 2x2 that allowed us to very easily patch over that so that it could be painted. And very successful. It worked very good. And the thing about it is this is a very critical part of any type of handrail, because a handrail's there, first of all, a handrail's there for a reason, to protect, to keep people from falling off, or if you stumble, or if you need that handrail, you need to make sure that it's going to be strong enough to support whatever type of weight that is where it's tested. So it is important to secure that well. I always like the construction adhesive. I use that on just about anything, and that just gives you a little extra. You can't rely on that 100% in this case, but it works fairly well. And Joe, I don't know if you had a chance to see that episode or not, but the homeowner there was insurance agent told her had to do all kinds of things
right.
to the house.
Yep.
I mean, what these guys? I think these guys just get restless in their offices and they just want to ride around and look at something. But boy, do they ever cause a lot of let's say challenges to homeowners in showing things that they have to fix right now, or they lose their insurance coverage. That puts a lot of pressure on a lot of homeowners.
It does, but as you mentioned, this is particularly important because a railing, if it looks great, is of no use if someone loses their balance and falls against it and the thing busts free and they crash to the ground. You know, as you said, that's the whole reason it's there. So that's the first thing to check. And for people that aren't familiar with TAPCONs, the great thing about TAPCON screws is there's no anchor. This actually is just a screw that goes into the stone or the brick or whatever it is. They're masonry screws and they have different heads on them. And when you buy the set, try to get the kit that includes the pilot bit Danny was talking about, because it has to be a very specific size. So get the kit, get the screws with the proper size drill bit.
Another email came in. We get a lot. We have a lot of great listeners all throughout the Midwest, including Patricia in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Danny and Joe. We listen to you guys every weekend on WMOH 1450 AM. Thanks for all the laughs and great home improvement advice. We have a rather odd problem that I hope you can help us with. We normally enter our home through our basement, which has a concrete floor that's very chalky and dusty. As a result, we leave dusty footprints all over the house. I'm concerned about applying a sealer because it smells so strong, so we're thinking of putting down some type of flooring. Do you have any recommendations for a floor that we can install ourselves? Thanks so much for your radio show. Well, Patricia, we appreciate those kind words and your husband, Mark. Well, first of all, there's several things you could do. You know, if you can clean the floor, we mention TSP a lot, trisodium phosphate, as a cleaner for masonry, works very well. You can clean it like that, and then if you put down a floating type floor, like the garage type floors that link together, they're basically like a quarter inch of rubber, that's a pretty cool look down there, and it won't matter since you're not gluing it down, it won't matter if you have that chalky surface. But if you're going to install another type of floor, it still needs to be somewhat moisture resistant. And there are, you know, waterproof luxury vinyl tiles that are available. But first, Joe, I think after the cleaning, I would still recommend to Patricia and Mark that they apply some kind of masonry sealer, even
right.
if it's just a couple coats that they spray out of a pump-up sprayer, to go ahead and seal that and to keep that chalkiness to a minimum.
Yeah, exactly. The reason that this will happen, it's not that common, but it does. We get probably one or two emails a year, is because the contractor probably used too much water in the mix when they poured the floor. But in any case, once a concrete floor is creating dust, it's hard to eliminate it. But I agree with Danny. I would put down a sealer. And if you're going to look for one that's called a concrete dust proofer, that's not the name of it. That's the generic term. And it specifically designs a clear sealer, specifically formulated for old dusty concrete surfaces. And pay, you know, you might have to pay $35 or $40 a gallon, but get one that it's labeled micro acrylic emulsion. That's what you're looking for. Those are the very best type. There's some that are a little too watery. They only seal dust for a certain period of time. So again, a concrete dust proofer with micro acrylic emulsion.
There you go, Patricia. You can keep all those dusty footprints out of your house. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about sidewalks. Does it look as good as it used to? Something was tried, didn't work out. We're going to try to help this listener in Ohio make that sidewalk look a little more welcoming for the guests and friends that might be coming over this weekend to celebrate Independence Day. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Happy Independence Day to everybody. Hope you're having a great weekend, enjoying yourself, thinking about that it's the birthday of America. A lot to be thankful for. And certainly if you're sitting around nice and comfortable around your home, you can just look around and see a lot of things there that you can be thankful for. Probably see a few things you might need to take care of. Well, that's what we do. Right now, we're going to check in with Larry in Ohio. Larry, welcome to the show. Hope you're having a great weekend. Tell us about this sidewalk. I see the pictures, and there's a lot going on here. Tell us about it.
Yes, my wife saw your show, and she said, I think we can do this to our sidewalks and recap it with the quick reads. So I recapped it. Some of it looked really awesome, but there are spots of it that came up, and I was just wondering what I could do with it. I don't know if there's some moisture under there. I didn't get enough moisture on it when I laid it down.
Oh, how did you prep it before you put the recap on it? Did you clean it with a brush or pressure washer it, or what did you do?
I took a pressure washer.
Okay. Because normally, you know, now there previously, was there anything on this concrete? Was there any kind of sealer or was there any other patching or paint or stain or anything?
Yes, there was the sealing on it. So I'm thinking that maybe might have been the problem there.
Yeah, because they caution you a lot on that. I've used recap many, many times, and I've always had a lot of success with it. But, boy, they really do emphasize the prep of the surface. And I think they have a step there that, and I can't quite recall, but we can find it at quickcrete.com, that if you have a previous coating on it, I can't remember if they say don't use it in that case or if they say you have to put a special primer on it and everything, because that happens a lot on concrete. Do you recall that, Joe?
Well, I know there's a step. I forget exactly what they recommend, but yeah, Larry, if there's a sealer, you have to scrub it off, and there's a liquid you can put on there. And if Quikrete doesn't sell it, they certainly would recommend exactly what you need to do. But of course, that doesn't explain why it's stuck in some parts. You would think the entire sidewalk would be sealed, right? I mean, why would it pop up in one spot and not every spot? But either way, go to Quikrete, and they probably have videos, if not videos, at least information on how to do that. But you had mentioned that you have trouble getting it off, and Danny might have another suggestion, but you know, that recap is amazing stuff when it sticks, and even if it's only partly stuck down, you won't be able to just scrape it up, so you may need to rent a concrete grinder. It usually has a 10-inch abrasive disc, so it's not a huge machine, but you can rent it at Home Depot. I don't know what it costs. Danny just rented one recently. It's probably about $140 for half a day or something like that.
Okay.
You know, Larry, that probably is the best thing you could do. I did rent one this week and used it on a project. And, boy, I tell you, it kind of wipes away all the woes. Whatever's on there, just take it real easy and go back and forth with it. It's one of those things. You don't push it like a lawnmower. You go side to side.
Sounds like Danny tried that and realized it doesn't work.
I had to pull out my phone and look at the YouTube video, but it worked very well. It'll create that porous, even surface that you need, and certainly follow those directions carefully on the recap, because if you follow those directions and you go ahead and scrape off whatever you can with the sander, you're going to have a fantastic looking sidewalk. It'll look like it's brand new.
Okay, sounds awesome. I will do that. So.
All right, Larry. Well, thank you very much. I hope you have a great 4th of July weekend.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Yes, you too.
All righty. Thank you very much. You take care. Hey, I want to share with you something here from our friends at Exmark. It's a backyard life tip. And now, you might not think about a fire pit, but it's a great addition to almost any outdoor living area. But it's especially good fit for a paver patio because it won't overheat the surface beneath the pit, which is a big concern on a deck. Now, even if heat isn't an issue, you shouldn't build a stone fire pit right on top of an existing paver patio, because when it rains, all the ashes and debris will wash out right out from under the walls the fire pit and across your beautiful patio. So the best solution is to cut the fire pit into the patio so that any runoff just basically drains into the soil beneath the patio, not on top of it. And here's how you do this. First of all, lay out the footprint of the fire pit in the spot where you want it to be located. Most fire pit kits include a metal ring to line the opening, but you can also use it as a guide to position the paver blocks so you can mark the outline of the pit on the patio. Then you can remove all of the full blocks within that space and begin cutting the partial blocks. Now, renting a concrete saw is the best thing you can do to make sure you get this job done. And once you replace the cut pieces, you should have a fire pit shaped hole in your patio so you can begin stacking the blocks for the walls of the fire pit itself. The great thing about this arrangement is the tension of the surrounding pavers hold the bottom layer of the fire pit snugly in place, and construction adhesive keeps the subsequent rows in position. In no time at all, your fire pit is complete and you're ready to enjoy it. Hey, this tip brought to you by our friends at Exmark, the official mowers of the backyard life. For more great ideas and inspiration for your outdoors, visit exmark.com/backyard. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. You don't want to go anywhere. Great simple solution is right around the corner. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. It's time for our simple solution by my buddy Joe Truini.
All right, Danny, when you have an asphalt roof shingle that's been punctured or ripped by the wind or something like that, you don't need to replace it. In most cases, you can repair it in just a couple of minutes. So first, here's what you do. Cut a piece of galvanized sheet metal, just a piece of metal flashing, and you want to cut it about a half inch narrower and 4 inches longer than the damaged shingle tab. The tab is the piece that's laying flat on the roof that's ripped, right? So you want it a little narrower, only about a half inch or so, and then 4 inches or so longer. Then use a flat bar, if necessary, to pry up the entire damaged shingle. And you also want to pry up about 3 or 4 inches of the shingles on either side. And the reason you have to do that, of course, is when it gets heated by the sun, they stick down, so they're supposed to not tear up when the wind blows. But in any case, so you want to loosen those up with a flat bar. And next, you can get roofing cement in a caulking tube. And so you're going to apply a thick bead of roofing cement along the top edge of the flashing and a narrower bead along the bottom edge of the flashing. Then slip the flashing under the damaged shingle with the roofing cement facing down so it sticks down to the roof. And be sure to position it so it's all the way up beyond the course of shingle so you don't see it sticking out. And it's going to extend evenly on either side, covering the entire tab that's damaged. Then you just press it down, then lift up the damaged shingle, apply a couple more beads of roofing cement, press it down, and that's it. So now you've got it stuck to the roof on the bottom, and the damaged shingle is stuck to the metal flashing, and you don't have to worry about it pulling up. Now, this is a good repair. Eventually, you may have to redo the whole roof, but this is a great way to fix a few damaged shingles using just some metal flashing.
And save a lot of money along the way. Yes. Just be careful anytime you get on that roof. If you're not comfortable, get your friend the roofer to take care of things.
I'm not going to say get your wife to do it.
Yeah, no, don't get your wife to do it. But just be careful anytime you're up there. Hey, more simple solutions are waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions. Hey, we want to share with you that we're launching a brand new podcast episode every week called Ask Danny. And you know, we get so many questions here at Today's Homeowner. And what we've done is we've decided that we're going to have a podcast that will talk about one particular area of the home on each podcast. Might be plumbing, common plumbing questions, common painting questions. And it's kind of like me sitting on the tailgate with that expert talking about and asking all of the questions that you ask all the time and have a good in-depth, fun conversation about the whole thing. So that'll launch this week. Along with that, we're changing up our other podcast just slightly, and the radio show will be available. Hour one as one podcast, hour two as another. So that's three podcasts every single week, and you can go to todayshomeowner.com/podcasts or wherever you download your podcast. It'll be waiting on you there. Again, we're really excited about this. We already have a lot of these already recorded and dozens of more of those already lined up so we can get you that current home improvement information that you expect from us here at Today's Homeowner. And of course, we'd love for you to drop by todayshomeowner.com and check out what's happening on this week's Today's Homeowner episode. There's a lot of things that we share with you there, a lot of kind of weekend type projects instead of the big over-the-top things that nobody has a budget for. We really keep it real and practical with all of the different projects that we feature on Today's Homeowner television show. Joe, I don't have much time left, but I was going to tell you,
right. Boy,
we were working on an episode this week where we were outside in a breezeway, so we weren't in the direct sun,
right.
But we also had no breeze at all. And oh, by the way, it got up to 103 degrees 2 days in a row.
Wow.
I'm down to 99 pounds. I hadn't been this since I was in the fourth grade. I mean, this is great.
Well, you know what that means? It's only a matter of time till you have to go and do a nice episode in an attic somewhere where
I remember
last year, I think it was like 135 degrees, and Danny decided to shoot an episode on insulating an attic.
I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks again for spending some time with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.